Veni Sancti Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit bright, come with thy celestial light. Pour on us thy love divine, come within our hearts. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today is the great feast of Pentecost. As the name implies, coming some 50 days after. Derived from the Jewish festival of Pentecost, which comes, interestingly enough, 50 days after Passover. Although it began as a first spring harvest festival nearly 3,000 years ago, in Jewish tradition today it is associated with Shavuot, the receiving of the law by Moses on Mount Sinai. In the Christian tradition, it ends the great 50 days of Easter, associated with the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the apostles, as promised by Jesus, both before his passion and before his ascension. Consider that first Pentecost day. The disciples were gathered in Jerusalem along with thousands of others from all over the world, for the Jewish feast of Pentecost was one of the three pilgrimage festivals during the year. This meant that if one was able, one was almost required to spend the holiday in Jerusalem and worship at the temple there, which was the only place where sacrifice to God could be offered. During these festivals, the population of Jerusalem would increase to 3 or 4 times its normal size. We are told some of the places all these people have come from in our reading from Acts this morning, a rather inclusive list of the eastern two-thirds of the Roman Empire. So we hear the disciples were all gathered in one place. The last time they were all gathered in one place in Jerusalem was for the last pilgrimage festival, Passover. And we all remember what happened then. Since that Last Supper together, they have witnessed their teacher being executed, have seen him raised from the dead, and after spending 40 days with them, watched him ascend to glory in heaven. Certainly understand if they are just a little confused with all the changes. Then something unexpected and unexplainable happens. The account we hear from the Acts of the Apostles this morning is filled with great special effects. The rushing of wind which filled the house and divided tongues of fire resting on each of them. I can only imagine what George Lucas or Steven Spielberg would do with such a script. And in But the really important part is what comes next. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, finally, after all this time of not getting it, the disciples, with a little help from the Holy Spirit, do get it and are able to begin to spread the message in a truly meaningful way. The crowd heard the commotion and gathered around them, amazed that they were all hearing the gospel in their own languages. Of course, the skeptics in the crowd just thought they were drunk. Peter objects, explaining, well, they can't be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That's probably my favorite line in the whole reading, especially after spending 2 years living in Key West, a half a block behind a bar that didn't close until 4 a.m. and opened up again at 8 in the morning. There was plenty of time to catch a buzz before 9 o'clock. We continue to invoke the Holy Spirit in many of our activities. The hymn verse with which I opened, the Veni Sancti Spiritus, or Come Holy Spirit, is a 13th century work attributed to either Pope Innocent III or Archbishop of Canterbury Stephen Langston, and is considered to be one of the finest examples of medieval Latin poetry. The little voluntary you heard after the gospel was an improvisation on the chant tone to Veni Sancti Spiritus. Thank you. The Veni Sancti Spiritus is recited at the ordination of deacons and priests and the consecration of new bishops immediately prior to the laying on of hands, and is one of the most powerful and moving parts. We call on the Holy Spirit at every Eucharist to bless and consecrate the elements. portion of the canon called the Epiclesis. Newly baptized persons are anointed with holy oil, and we proclaim them sealed by the Holy Spirit at baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. As we welcome them into the community of faith and the household of God. Although this seems like the climax of the story and all we have left is the final resolution and conclusion, the reality is that for the disciples and the apostles, the real work is just about to begin. This is not the time to sit back and enjoy the end of the story. They are now to be sent into the world, most of them facing difficult times, persecution, and martyrdom for their efforts. The Holy Spirit has great plans for them. It is not an ending, but a magnificent new beginning, and the Holy Spirit will be there to teach and to remind them of all they have learned in their time with Jesus. The promise, the excitement, and the surprise of that first Pentecost morning remain with us still. Now, I think I'm suggesting we should be out running up and down Thomasville Road speaking in tongues and acting like we're drunk at 10 o'clock in the morning. What I am suggesting is we allow some of the excitement, wonder, and even awe that was present at that first Pentecost to be part of our lives today on this in the days to follow. It is the joy and the peace of knowing the Holy Spirit is alive and well today, just as Jesus promised before that first Pentecost. The Holy Spirit remains our advocate and guide through good times and especially difficult times. The Holy Spirit continues to remind us of what we have learned from the gospel message and how we can continue the witness of that message to the world around us. The Holy Spirit reminds and teaches us of the peace which Jesus gives us, the peace that is not of this world, the peace that passes all human understanding. The Holy Spirit helps us remember who we truly are, a community of faith, a community of hope,